I'm Dave Lewis, and it's time for our daily COVID-19 update. And we've been doing this for, gosh, it's been over a month, Bob Koppel. We're kind of, you know, lightheartedly exchanging that it's almost like Groundhog Day every day when we get up and we have some things that just don't seem right. Lather, rinse, repeat. Yep. But Bob's the president and CEO of Ascension Via Christi Hospital. And, you know, there are a number of things here that, I'd like to talk about. First off, we want to give some statistics. Yesterday's numbers, 1,986 patients across Kansas. And so it's likely we'll cross over that 2,000 threshold today with a report that comes out around 11 o'clock. And they and then Kansas also marked its 100th death as a result of the coronavirus. Riley County is up to 29. Pottawatomie remains at 6. And Gary County has 10 coronavirus patients. And, Bob, I understand that you have 3 patients currently that are receiving care at the hospital.
We actually have 3 positives that we're providing care for, again, from a variety of the counties around us, including Riley. And then also, I think we now have 6 PUIs in the hospital, or persons under investigation just waiting on their lab test to see if they actually have COVID, or do they just have something else significant going on from a respiratory standpoint.
Okay. Is that as high a number of patients related to the coronavirus as you've had?
Probably pretty close, because we've only usually been at the 1, 2, and I think we did have one other time we were at 3 positives. The PUIs actually really fluctuate. That, even in a given day, depending on when they had their lab work and when we get the results back, that has been as low as none or 1, and I do think the 6 is probably the highest, at least in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
You know, the anticipation is that we will be reaching the apex, the top of the curve, later this month. And with the number of individuals that you're treating right now, it seems, I suppose, somewhat hopeful for you that we shouldn't have a capacity issue at Ascension Via Christi Hospital.
You know, we're not seeing that. I do think it's interesting, and you know, you got to take your, you mentioned the state numbers. I think we're now up to 39 identified clusters, and we do have some of those in our region now. And so that's probably what we're paying the most attention to, with the cluster with the food processing plant. Waubenesee County, looks like there perhaps is a cluster in western Clay County. It's those kinds of things that are our cues then to start to see, are we actually going to see more patients or not? So just, it's kind of interesting. You just have to actually give it a few days to see who else shows up positive, or does no one else show up positive. Because we've been, quite honestly, we've been down this path a few times already in the last month, and luckily we ended up with very few people impacted by some of these things. So just got to give it a, you know, give it a few days and see what develops.
Speaking of the clusters, Governor Laura Kelly is sending PPEs and tests to basically 4 Kansas counties, all that have a meatpacking component to their communities. Lyon County, where Emporia is, Seward County, where Liberal is, Finney County, where Garden City is, and also Ford County, where Dodge City is. And they've been seeing a bit of a breakout in the number of patients in those communities, and they seem to think that many of those are associated with the meatpacking plants. And, you know, those are some clusters that that are going to be concerning for a lot of folks, not just for the patients, but also for the products that are produced there.
Yeah, certainly there's definitely a downstream impact if you're closing any of those facilities. Excuse me. Food processing, actually, just as a whole, when you have a lot of folks working in close proximity, it gives you more opportunity, obviously, to pass bugs around. So it's just I know that a lot of those places are actually looking at kind of retooling how they do things to kind of spread people out, because that's obviously, you have to social distance at work, if you will. So well, hopefully that they are able to kind of slow that down and keep that under some level of control there.
Let's talk about some measures that you're taking at Ascension Via Christi Hospital. And some of the things, if somebody were to walk into the hospital, what might they see?
So if you come in, right now patients can come in one of 2 entrances. On our north side, the patient entrance, on the south side, the emergency department entrance. And so everybody is greeted there by somebody, and they're going to be asked the screening questions. Most people are actually at this point are going to be asked to put on a mask. And the staff that you see will also be wearing a mask. We've been doing universal masking with our staff. Oh, golly, it's at least 2 or 3 weeks. It's kind of back to that all the days start to run together, so you forget when you start certain things. But we've had everybody mask from a staff perspective if they're patient-facing for the last couple weeks. And then from there, you know, kind of depending on where you're going and what you're here for, there's additional steps that are taken. If you're here to do imaging, for example, that imaging equipment will have been wiped down prior to your coming into the room, and actually once you've had your CT or MR or MRI or you've had your ultrasound or whatever, and once you leave, actually that entire room is going to be cleaned again before we bring in the next patient. And all of this is about trying to just make things, you know, very, very safe for people. We're trying not to have anybody really sit in a waiting room. And so in some of our, especially in our clinics, people are actually being asked just to wait in their cars till they're ready to bring them in, and they're taken right back to an exam room or right to their place where they're going to get physical therapy or occupational therapy or things like that. Again, it's just trying to reduce touch points, trying to reduce the amount of time people are waiting actually in the building, but just make sure people are getting their service, getting well taken care of, but we're just trying to really ramp up the level of safety for people. And so, you know, part of this goes back to something we talked about, I think, this weekend, Dave, is, you know, people shouldn't be afraid to seek health care, especially if they need it. And so if you are, you know, we're, again, reading and hearing about stories of people who maybe didn't go to the emergency department because they were worried, and they end up having a heart attack at home, or they have a stroke at home, or things like that. We just, you know, if you are not feeling well, you know, reach out to your physician office. If it's significant, you need to come to the emergency room. You are going to be well taken care of, and we're really taking all kinds of extra steps to make sure that people are safe.
I think the safe thing to say is that the hospital is a safe place.
Yeah. Well, you know, we actually were talking about this yesterday. I was up on one of the units, and, you know, we have very specific air handling. Our entire third floor, where the medical and surgical units are, we've been running in a negative air environment for well over a month now. And, you know, this actually is a safer place to be than any other place in town from an air cleanliness standpoint. Just because we have that equipment, we have the things in place to do all those things that no other business would typically have. They just don't, you know, that's just not part of design. So, yeah, we really want to emphasize with people, it's safe to get your health care. It's so important that people continue to get their health care because we don't want things to escalate either. We don't want that to be a byproduct of COVID.
Taking a look down the road a little bit, you have decided to put on hold all elective surgeries. Do you have any kind of a concept how long you'll be in that mode of not doing those?
Well, so our current plan is that we are not going to do elective procedures or surgeries until May 4th. So what is that, a little over 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, 2 weeks from today.
And we actually work in a rolling rotation. So we have physician leaders who are over our department of surgery. We have our chief of staff, and we meet actually every couple weeks to kind of say, okay, what do we think the next 2 weeks look like? And that's how we've been kind of doing our rolling change of when we're going to do electives. And so by the end of this week, we'll have that conversation again to say, are we going to open things up on May 4th, or do we need to push it out another week? And quite honestly, that all has to do with what's going on in the community. So if we're seeing an uptick in activity and positives, then that's going to, you know, bring about conversation. Is that the safe thing to do? Because it's all about reducing unnecessary exposure for people. So we really want to be careful about that and really, you know, be very thoughtful about that because it's a significant decision to make. Quite honestly, we also need to see what our state is going to do. The stay-at-home order runs through May 3rd, which is the Sunday. And so we're going to want to know kind of what Governor Kelly and her staff are intending to do, because we want to, you know, be somewhat aligned with those changes as well.
All right. Well, there's a lot going on. It seems like we have an unending line of topics to chat about here in the mornings, but we certainly appreciate all the healthcare workers. I know that there's a lot of salutes that are going out there, and they're all deserved. And we certainly appreciate all the work that you put in, as well as other professionals in the healthcare community, to keep our community informed as to different things with regards to the coronavirus, Bob.
Certainly.